You're listening to Block Blunders, the comedy podcast where we try to guess the plot of a movie we have never seen. My name is Barry Walsh.
And my name's Pat Sunderland.
Oh, we got the Aussie boys in.
Woo! You're listening to us, an Australian podcast. If you are not Australian, good.
Yeah.
I don't know what I mean by that. Block Blunders, we are doing a listener suggestion.
Yeah, we are.
Play the listener suggestion jingle. Listeners, and then it just ends there.
Listener suggestion. It comes in at the end. Yeah, this is a listener suggestion, and we love getting listener suggestions. We're getting a few more of them, like a little, you know, they're building up, so please keep sending them through. And this one is a movie I can't believe I haven't seen, Asteroid City.
Asteroid City. This is a freshie. This is a new one.
A fantastic suggestion. I love Wes Anderson films. And what's insane is I didn't even realize this was a Wes Anderson film until you told me.
Yes, I accidentally let that slip.
But yeah. I was talking to people while we were around.
Yeah.
And it's funny, even though I didn't know it was a Wes Anderson film, just from looking at the cover and the cast list and kind of like seeing the character names, I did start making this very, without even realizing, quite Wes Anderson-like. I say making it as if I've written out a plot as I would normally do, but in this situation, I'm shooting from the hip.
Yeah. So you're a fan of Wes Anderson movies? Wes Anderson movies have you seen?
I love Wes Anderson films. I've seen Moonrise Kingdom. Yeah. I've seen The Royal Tenenbaums. Yeah. I've seen probably more Isle of Dogs was like one of the more ones I saw.
Would you say he's, you know, like a favorite director?
Yeah, I would say like at one point I definitely would have said that he was a favorite of mine. I'm not an aesthetics person, which I know he's a much more of like an aesthetics kind of director. I am definitely more story driven.
So yeah, right.
Sometimes, so some of the films, like for instance, I find stories like The Royal Tenenbaums really interesting because I'm really character driven. So those are usually the redeeming things for me in a Wes Anderson film, where someone might be like, well, you don't like visually, like, for me, it's like I would get bored if it was just like an art piece that was visual through the whole thing.
But
because there's always these like really
fun characters
I get drawn to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Wes Anderson fan. I think
I didn't ask actually.
Grand Budapest Hotel. I'm not telling you this is my personal video diary.
So I've seen Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah,
as well.
I think that's one of my favorite films. I think that's one of his best movies.
It really like stamped everything he'd been trying to do in other movies. Like he really pulled together all of these things that made Wes Anderson a Wes Anderson film.
Yeah, and he's you know, he's a director that has a very clear sort of identity and style, which, you know, a lot of people, like people who like really hate Wes Anderson films, I'm like, I get it, you know.
I find
it's very specific.
Well, I find it's funny that, because now we can talk about something that actually do have a bit of a... So when you're working with a movie or something, I find that the director does have a lot of control. And so I quite like a director that has a little bit of themselves in their movies.
Yeah.
It's different to when I see like a play in some theatre. Sometimes some theatre directors feel like they're doing a movie, I think, and they like to... I don't enjoy watching a play where I feel like I've seen the director at work.
Right. You don't like the... director as opposed to, say, the playwright.
As opposed to, like, the playwright and the performers, like, envisioning those... Like, embodying those characters.
Yeah, yeah. You don't like... If you're watching, like, a... I don't know, fucking... David Mamet play or something, and it feels like it's a lot more.
And there's like a dance scene or something. I start getting a bit like frustrated.
Oh, that's interesting. It's an interesting comparison that I hadn't thought about before. Because when you see a movie with a director, you barely even think about who the screenwriter is.
Yeah.
But with a play, you're definitely thinking about, oh, this is a Tennessee Williams play, not this is a Tennessee Williams play directed by whoever the fuck it is.
Yeah, and I will say, I mean, not that anyone in America or anyone like if you're a Sydney listener, you've been to SDC. I do find there are directors that kind of break through that, like Kip Williams.
He's a fantastic
director, I think.
Yeah.
I saw a production of him at Golden, like he did Golden Age many years ago.
Yeah, right.
Which is an incredible play. Probably one of the best fucking performances I've seen done.
Who's it written by?
Oh, God, I actually don't know who it's written by, but it's a great piece. Australian drama, Australian theatre. It's set in like a kind of like quasi-mythical Tasmania, where it's like it was set in a time when Tasmania hadn't yet been explored very much.
Oh, 2023.
All right, Beavis and Butthead just came in the studio. Anyway, this is a boring theater talk, but that's an interest of mine.
We should do a theater. I think we've said this before. We should do a theater podcast where I try to guess the plots of plays that I haven't seen, which is almost all of them.
We should try that one time. That's funny. This movie, in Asteroid City, something in the cast list that blew my mind. So when the listener whose name I'm so sorry, I should have checked the.
That's all right. Thank listener, you, so much. You know who you are. We don't need to say your name. That would be doxing, which is recently about to be made more illegal in Australia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Anyway. Thank you so much for this suggestion. The cast list is incredible. We got huge names. Scarlett Johansson, obviously, is the top of the list.
Yeah.
But the name that really stands out for me is one of my favorite actors, Edward Norton.
Edward Norton, who is a classic Wes Anderson actor. He's Wes Anderson, one of those directors who kind of keeps pulling from the same stable actors. And this cast is full of classic Wes Anderson actors. You've got Jason Schwartzman. You've got
Willem Dafoe.
You've got Tony Revolori.
Tom Hanks.
You've got Tom
Jeff
Hanks.
Jeff Goldblum. Like,
you've got Jeff Goldblum. Tom Hanks, though, I don't know if he's done a Wes Anderson before.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
This is a kind of unusual pick for him. And Adrian Brody, of course, you know. Massive fucking cast.
And yeah, it's huge. So something I do know about, like, Edward Norton specifically is he's really good at, I don't know if he just constantly gets typecasted as this, but he's often the shitbag. Like, he's just a great shitbag.
Yeah,
he's got a face
that
makes you kind of want to punch him, and he knows how to play to it.
It's interesting. He's sort of done a lot of, like, he's done a weird mix, where he's done a lot of movies where he's, like, a crazy psycho.
Yeah.
And then he's done quite a few movies where he's just, like, this soft little lad.
But even when he's, I don't know, I find his soft side often, anyway, I find him quite nuanced as an actor. I really like him. Especially, have you ever seen Grounders?
No.
It's a fun movie. What's we should Grounders do that.
About? Well, don't tell me what it's about. Yeah. I'm going to assume it's about Groundhogs.
I think it's popular. Let us know if you like the movie Grounders, and we'll do it.
Yeah. All right. So Edward Norton, you kind of pegged out as kind of often plays a crazy psycho.
Well, I'm specifically a shitbag. Like, not like
I'm thinking of like Fight Club and like Primal Fear.
But even in Fight Club, is he the psycho or is he just like a, like, obviously, yes.
I don't know how to tell you this, man.
Obviously, like,
no, you're right.
But his side of that story, he's just like this shitbag.
But as you say, it's still a shitbag where it's like, but there's something there that's a little effed up.
Yeah, right. Right? Because, like, he, you know, he's personified through that, like, Brad Pitt style.
Yeah.
Anyway, other than finding out the cast list and seeing that and learning of them, I knew nothing about this movie.
Yeah, right. So what about the title?
I did not even fucking know this movie came out. Like,
no, but I just mean, like,
oh, Asteroid City?
Yeah.
What did I get from it? Oh, def. Oh. So when I started looking into this, immediately got Cowboy Bebop vibes.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, if anyone's seen Cowboy Bebop, Earth in that situation is kind of just pummeled.
Oh, you mean Cowboy Bebop the anime? I thought you meant Cowboy Bebop the music genre that only exists in the songs that I release.
No. Cowboy Bebop. I don't know. Yeah, anyway, that is actually just the soundtrack of Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That is kind of, but with a lot more, what do you call them? Spurs jangling.
Yeah, it's more cowboy than bebop. 3, 2, 1,
let's do this.
Because, like, Earth in that story is kind of getting pummeled by meteors and things, and it's like, and because I did look at the cover and it was kind of like, what, a big old, it's like set like a big old desert with a big old hole.
Yeah. It's a very Wes Anderson-y sort of poster. Yeah, a bunch of people sitting in a big hole.
And so, I mean, like, for a movie that came out last year, and directed by Wes Anderson, I can't believe I didn't even know about it. It really is it was confronting. I was like, I fucking need to wake up.
I don't know. It's strange to me that you'd be a big fan of Wes Anderson and just have no idea that he released a film.
Not a clue.
Maybe overshadowed a bit by Barbenheimer stuff, but, like, definitely made a bit of waves.
I mean, based on the reviews and things from what I've seen, it looks like it kind of middled.
Well, I would say it was divisive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I mean, in a way that a lot of his films are, you know.
Yeah.
Some people just don't vibe with it.
People like to dislike things as well.
And again, it's just like he has a very specific style. I think Wes Anderson would be the first person to admit that, like, you know if you're not going to like a Wes Anderson movie.
Is this based on reality at all?
Is this based on reality? That's a question for you.
Because I've just noticed the character's name's JJ Kellogg.
Yeah.
And I know that, I'm pretty sure the guy who created Kellogg's is kind of crazy.
Yeah, right.
Or has like a weird history.
Mm.
So now I'm like, is this a fucking focus on something crazy that Mr. Kellogg did?
Focus on the heir to the Kellogg's. For, was the guy who invented Kellogg's called J.J. Kellogg?
I have no idea. I don't think so, actually. Probably not.
Well, it might have been.
Anyway. I don't know much about other than this.
Do you want me to give you some entrance music for your version of Barry Walsh's Wes Anderson's Asteroid City?
I guess we better and be ready, Pat, to improv with me a little bit.
No, like, sorry, you have to throw I'm throwing some... you to the wolves. I'm gonna start you with the intro music, and then I'm going to be perfectly silent for the rest. Yeah, imagine that. Me not talking for, forget 40 minutes, imagine me not talking for 3 minutes. Yeah. Wouldn't that be a treat?
Barry has the fucking stretch.
Here we go.
Okay. Oh, Pat, you've given yourself away. Yes. Okay, so we start. I think this starts, I was always originally going to do this before I knew it was a Wes Anderson film. I think it starts like shot of the desert. Big old Asteroid City title. Yeah. But then, like, it's kind of the thing where it's almost like over the screen describing where they are, like location setting, not the
sort of thing
where it's like Asteroid City.
Classic Wes Anderson thing where he just has like little plain text captions on things.
Does he not do that? He does that pretty. Like,
I'm not being sarcastic. I mean, that classic Wes Anderson thing.
Yeah, exactly. Because sort of that thing, like, where, yeah, exactly. So it's like Asteroid City. Maybe even there's a population or something. Like,
yeah.
And I think we're following like a bus of people, and I think specifically because I noticed that some people are listed as like cast members of things.
Yeah, yeah. And it occurs to me actually before we launch too much into this plot that considering this is a movie podcast specifically where we don't know much about movies, what is it that you associate with Wes Anderson's style?
Like, yeah,
when you think of Wes Anderson's style, if someone say hasn't seen any of his movies, what kind of things do you think about?
I think of visually like symmetrical shots,
very intricate set design,
very 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 specific like motions and movements that are like.
Not necessarily like realistic or natural,
but not like it's almost almost on the verge of like choreography. But it seems still like it's heightened realism, you know? So that's what I think of. And I think of like lots of establishing shots.
Yeah,
but of like almost like close-ups of little details of locations.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
It's the passes that like that don't get seen by the wide shots that Wes Anderson's like to. To establish with, I think.
Yeah, cool. All right, cool. Anyway, so you say they're all a busload of people.
Busload of people, and then maybe we are getting kind of shots of some of the people there. I should get up the cast list on the on Wikipedia because that does a better job of describing some people. So bear with me while
Well, I think this is an interesting thing to look at.
Well, yeah, because I looked at the Google has pictures of people, but Wikipedia is straight up like. Augie Steinbeck, war photojournalist and father to Woodrow. It really tells me what's going on.
Yeah, it certainly does.
So, I'm not going to get... So, obviously, we've got Scarlett Johansson, then an actress. She's playing an actress. There's Mercedes Ford. She's playing both of these? There you go.
Mm.
Oh, wow. Yes. I'm so thrown already.
Yes, this is what I thought might happen if you looked up the Wikipedia cast list of this movie.
There are a lot of people playing multiple people.
Yes, how interesting.
All right, I got this. Here we go.
Yep.
So they're on the tour. They're going to Asteroid City because they're going there for a film location.
Ah.
Right? It is, as the picture on the cover, I think it fully is like a city that's formed in the bottommost point of this like asteroid hole.
So this is like it's called Asteroid City because it formed in the
wake of like a massive fucking asteroid.
Yeah,
hole.
Right.
Yeah. And so they turn up at Asteroid City and it's kind of like taking a step back in time sort of thing. Like it's a deadbeat, dusty old town, or maybe it's even a kind of place that's used for shooting cowboy movies. And so the residents are kind of there like. It's weird to live there, but there's only a few of them sort of thing. Just the necessities for when crews come.
And is this set current day?
Yes.
Great.
I'm setting this in like pretty much current day. Yeah. So we got the crew turning out. They're all getting there. And I think there's like lots of kind of weird vibes from the townspeople.
Sure.
And at first you might, I think at first the actors are like, oh man, this is the kind of place where they don't take kindly to outside folk.
Yeah.
But then I think talking to someone, let's say the hotel manager, Steve Carell.
Yeah.
Steve Carell kind of informs them that it has been a little weird in Asteroid City.
Oh, mysterious things have been happening in Asteroid City.
He's just like, what's your loose objects and people that you love?
It's like there's been mysterious disappearances.
Yeah, I think so. Or like a cowboy comes in from town, right? Like Jarvis Cocker.
Yeah.
He rides in with a couple other cowboys.
And
Steve kind of offhandedly like, any luck, boys? And all the cowboys are like, well, not today, but we're going to find them soon. And Margot Robbie's there like, why are there cowboys? Wait, well, not Margot. Margot Robbie is in this movie.
Yeah.
But I mean Scarlett Johansson.
Sure.
Because I got big plans for Margot Robbie later.
Ooh. Yeah, you and me both, brother. Jesus. Awful Barry fat. Christ.
Come on.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. So they've turned up. They've been told it's kind of weird. Cowboys roll in.
I thought you were about to say, cowboys rule the earth.
Cowboys rule the cowboy empire.
The cowboys roll in. And it all seems to be this vibe that people are
on edge.
Disappearing.
Yeah, and I noticed that there are students, so maybe students keep going missing of the local asteroid university.
Yes, right.
Yeah. That's kind of the start establishing shot. They all go to their hotels and stuff. And because it's a Wes Anderson film, it's lots of like fun shots of where they're staying.
Mm.
Weird intricacies of like, it's Asteroid City. It's like they know people live here, but it looks deserted.
Right.
That's what I'm picturing. It looks like a movie set.
Sure.
Fake. No idea what's going on. And then they go to bed and everyone wakes up the next morning.
So when you say it looks like a movie set, how do you mean?
Lots of like empty buildings with like stuff in it, but nothing of substance.
General
store has goods, but
yeah, they're all, or it's like there cardboard are, cutouts of things.
There are aisles that are fake and shit, you know,
interesting.
It's really meta is what I'm thinking. So I think they start kind of, shooting this movie. I'm going to take a stab here.
Yeah.
I think Wes Anderson did this thing where they are shooting some sort of cowboy alien movie.
Then they
end up in a cowboy alien movie.
Right.
So they're shooting these scenes of like, cowboys and people like, and I don't know, like Scarlett Johansson is playing,
she's playing one role.
She's playing one role at this point.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know where I'm going. Okay, this is... I've got this. Oh, my God. Okay. So, they're playing one role. I don't know how to really get through the part. I don't think anything really of substance other than, like, finding out things about characters in these moments. One character likes their coffee hot, and the other character won't ever drink any coffee, and that's important for later.
That's such a classic Wes Anderson thing.
I reckon day two goes without a thing, except the locals are nowhere to be seen.
They fuck off
during the recording and during the day. Even at night, like it seems weirdly deserted.
Mm.
And I think there's lots of shots of, let's say, Tom Hanks.
Nice. Plenty of shots of Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is, they keep asking Tom Hanks, where the fuck is everyone? And he's like, you just film your movie now, then get out of here, right? Like, it's really fucking tense.
Right, so Tom Hanks is, like, part of the, like, the mayor or whatever, or the person of this town.
He's not part of the busloads of actors. He's Augie's father-in-law, so... which is in the movie, I guess. Wait, no, Augie is a wardrobe photojournalist. Oh, my God, this cast list is... There's nothing to gain from this cast list.
It's going to add more confusion than it's going to help.
It's going right out the fucking window, everyone. Tom Hanks is the mayor of Asteroid City.
Nice and simple.
Nice and simple.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks, he'd be doing Tom Hanks stuff. Yeah. He's smoking a cigar.
Nice.
He's telling him to hurry up.
Cigar, let's ring the bell. Ding, ding. Yeah. Cigar mentioned.
He tells them to hurry up and do their movie.
Yeah.
At night. The second night adopts a strange glowing green far in the distance. And when they wake in the morning, all the cowboys are back and they look disheveled and hurt.
Ah.
But they don't say anything.
Right? Yeah,
they don't
right.
say a single damn thing. Not like, and I'm not saying they don't tell them information.
Yeah.
They don't fucking say a damn thing. People yeah. are talking to them right. and they look straight through them as if they're, they're not there. And on day three of the shooting, this starts to become a bit of a problem. The cowboys, they start mistaking the cast for real.
Oh, right. Things. So suddenly they bring in the guy who plays the cowboy in the movie on with them on the trail. Yeah, and they yeah. start asking the guy who plays the general manager in the movie for supplies. And that's he goes, right. well, none of these are all props. I don't have anything for you.
And then so there's a big shoot. They're planning the big shootout scene. And it's yeah. all... And one of the actors goes down. Let's say it's... I nearly went Tom Hanks. Let's say it's Tom Hanks.
All right, Tom Hanks gets shot.
Tom Hanks,
I was also an actor.
Tom Hanks is a lot of people in this
yeah,
movie.
Yeah.
Edward Norton. He's Edward in this Norton. Movie. No, I'm on him for later.
Yeah. let's say Rupert Friend.
Yeah, okay. Rupert Friend. He gets shot for realsies.
Yeah.
And it's one of the cowboys. And so then the sheriff has to take him away.
Yeah, yeah.
Jason Schwartzman, who's the top listed actor, yeah. is the thing. He has to arrest them.
It's almost like a sort of... have you ever seen Galaxy Quest?
Nah.
Or The Three Amigos?
Nah.
Or A Bug's Life?
Yes.
Yeah, it's this sort of thing, right? Where it's like the actors are becoming... Have to become the role that they play, you know what I mean? Yes. That like... That it's like the line between like they play cowboys in a movie, but now they're in a shootout with real
now
cowboys.
Now they're for
and,
real.
And suddenly the actor that plays the grizzled cowboy has to actually hold a gun and fire.
Yeah, that's yeah, right. So and then well, the cowboys they hold them off against the cowboys, and there's maybe there's a big town meeting where they're like, your cowboys tried to kill my actors, and then Tom Hanks has to be like, my cowboys are doing their damn job, making sure that none of these aliens get out.
illegal aliens. We're racist cowboys.
Yeah, that's right. And they release a couple of the illegal aliens they had.
So this town has been visited upon by aliens.
This town's got an alien problem.
Oh, brother.
And I don't know how to deal with it. Yeah. Maybe there's an unsuspecting Scarlett Johansson, Jason Schwartzman duo that can save the day.
Oh my god.
I don't know.
All right.
What I do know is there are far too many famous people in this movie.
Yeah, well, let's relegate some of them to small bit parts.
Yeah, that's
but
fine.
Okay,
Willem Dafoe.
So it comes out that there are
aliens.
Aliens have attacked
and the cowboys are fighting the aliens.
Is that why the shit looks like it's a fake movie set? This is what I'm.
The reason it looks like a fake movie set is because it's it is a movie set town.
Right,
and it's just like it's just a Wes Anderson film, so it's weird.
Okay, so this, there just, is no real town here. There's just the commonly used movie set.
Yeah,
and then there's some cowboys that live in the area.
There are people. There's enough people that live in this like fake town.
Yeah,
to facilitate whatever crew comes around.
But it's like they may be like it might at the front look like a general store, but it's just like a. They are living in the essentially hollowed out shell of this town.
Totally, right, yeah, right, yeah. And it's like, you know, we're talking less than 1,000 people, I guess.
Yeah,
which is
like a little town. Yeah,
yeah, totally.
Okay, and so, and now we get the reveal that in this set where they were going to shoot, I guess, the Daniel Craig movie Cowboys vs. Aliens, they are having a real cowboy vs. aliens
that's
moment.
Right, yeah. So, and then the cowboys... So now we have a training montage.
Yeah.
Where the cowboys train Willem Dafoe,
yeah.
Scarlett Johansson,
yeah.
Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah.
And then they're all being trained by Tom Hanks and Edward Norton how to be cowboys.
Nice.
They're not doing a good job at being cowboys because they're actors. And so they need the help of a wise sage.
I love, man, it's so convenient when there's a wise sage. I love wise sages. It's such a load off your mind.
And who do you think I'm going to cast as the wise sage?
Let me take a quick look at the cast list. Could it be a Mr. Jeff Goldblum?
No.
Or
it can't be. It can't be Jeff Goldblum. Willem Dafoe is one of the cowboys teaching them how to be a cowboy.
Oh, right.
They've already had their part.
Sure.
I'm going to put Margot Robbie as the wise sage.
Casting out of type.
Yeah. Oh. She's
not an elderly. Because when you say, and this is my own bias.
I know, yeah.
When you say wise age, uh-huh. I think of an elderly person.
Well, who's to say that Margot Robbie isn't 1,000 in this movie?
Not near. Oh, you're doing, yeah, the, you're doing the thing where it's like, she's actually 1,000 years old. She just looks like she's 30.
There's a woman in the hills
who
says... She's been around for many years. Yeah, and has fought the aliens before.
She's almost like an elf, like a sort of like a Morgana Le Fay sort of.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So they have to journey to the cowboys can't join them because they got to protect the town. So it's
as far as we can go, partner. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Who haven't I said? Steve Carell's around. I don't know many of the other people. Anyway, so. I guess we'll send them away with Willem Dafoe. That'll be fun. Yeah. Willem Dafoe, Scarlett Johansson, Jason Schwartzman, they go off to find the wise sage Margot Robbie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, they get visited by the aliens.
Oh my god. Now, this is always a fun thing. What type of aliens are we talking
about? Yeah. I think it is Jeff Goldblum as an alien painted green.
Like, as in his just skin is green, like when he's in that Marvel movie and he's got like blue skin or whatever.
A little bit, yeah. But then they've got like they've got the classic little like springy ears.
Barry's miming out the little headband thing you have with the springs on them. Classic alien stuff.
And the only thing he has on his body is like a belt with a laser pistol on his hip.
Nice. And butt naked.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You see, Jeff Goldblum's huge hog.
Yeah.
He then reveals that they're not the bad guys at all.
Oh my god!
These aliens, we're just trying to grab our asteroid, our ship that's at the bottom under the city. And these cowboys, they tell them
that they have got their craft under the.
They're
the,
like very important.
Is this the craft that that landed like thousands of years ago to form?
I think
the
it must be like the
town?
Mothership. You know, it's the like they need. It's not that the ship is there. Like they need technology from the ship.
Yeah, right.
So they're like, we need the components from our ship to put it into our new ship so we can get the fuck out of here.
Mm.
But your cowboys keep... We tried to tell the cowboys and the thing...
The cowboys aren't being understanding. Oh, they're shooting first, asking questions later. Classic cowboy mode.
That's right, okay? So they're like, well, look, we're going to find the wise sage Margot Robbie. And he's like, I can't be seen by it. She'll kill me.
Interesting. I'm very curious about this wise sage and where she lands. It's a very supernatural element into this so far sci-fi... movie.
Yeah, you, I'm intrigued. It's almost like I don't know
color
where I'm going.
Color me intrigued.
Well, keep colored intrigued.
I'm gonna still be colored.
Okay, well, so they turn up to the cave that they are supposed to go to, but it's not that easy. There's three holes. They got to choose one. They all go down an individual hole. There's Willem Dafoe.
Okay, all right. So this is the part of the movie that Wes Anderson made to be like, we can turn this into a roller coaster in movie world. We're going to make so much money off this thing.
This is
the Jimmy Neutron Kids in America scene.
They all go down slides.
It's
awesome. It's really fun.
The only part of the movie you remember watching when you were a kid. Like,
And then so it turns out,
big slip and slide.
Turns out it didn't matter. They all turn up at Margot
Robbie's. Yeah, it's a classic. It all goes, it splits on different directions, but they all land in the same
place.
Place. Okay. She was just doing a bit.
Margot Robbie says, I know why you're here.
So, when they see Margot Robbie, what is it that they see? What does she look like?
She's glowing.
She's glowing.
She's she looks like a fitness grandma in like tights, but she glows.
When you say fitness grandma,
yeah, that wasn't a clear description for you.
Well, I just mean, is she old?
No.
Okay.
She just has.
So you're just in this like an old sort of 80s fitness.
Yeah,
like,
she's
leotard.
In like she's in full leotard stuff.
I'm listening.
Yeah, leg warmers.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Interesting. So kind of like
think like hippie fitness mom.
Do the locomotion.
Sure.
All right. Interesting. But she's glowing, but not like she's got like. I don't want to say regular human skin, but she's got non-alien skin.
She's a non-alien.
She's a non-alien.
But she glows.
She has one of many skin tones which could be considered normal for a human.
Yeah. Well, she's Margot Robbie, so she's not painted any other color.
Okay. Good. Just being very human.
So, Margot Robbie tells them.
Yeah.
This is where the fucking big reveal
Oh my god, the next big reveal. We've already had a number of big reveals. I'm enjoying this. Story goes from strength
they
to strength.
They tell her, like, they're like, well, yeah. Look, the aliens, they've got to, maybe we can help them and they'll stop killing us.
Yeah.
And she's like, I mean, the aliens aren't killing people.
Yes.
The cowboys, that are the problem. And it's like, yeah, we know that. And like, no. But like,
yeah, the cowboys are stopping the aliens from picking up their shit.
And she's like, come with me. Right? So oh they go God. Back to the town.
Yeah.
And the cowboy's like, dude, get those bloody aliens. And Margot Robbie is like, we about to. And she shoots the cowboy in oh the leg. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She's...
Yeah.
Pistols.
And do we know... have we learned at this stage who she... Like, is she 1,000 years old? Do we, like, is she magic? Is she...
Is that important?
No. Not if it doesn't need to be.
I don't know. She's just a wise, crazy woman who lives in the hills.
Yeah. Is that
I mean,
so
she
difficult?
Probably didn't live for 1,000 years. Okay. I think people just branded her as like a crazy.
Sure.
She's just like someone who chills and lives off the land.
Okay. So she shoots the cowboy in the leg.
Yeah. Immediately turns into an alien.
Oh my god. So aliens were the bad guys after all.
That's right. And it's actually these are more evil aliens.
Oh
stopping
my god.
The
a different
species
aliens. From. Yeah. Yeah. What are these aliens?
It's aliens versus aliens. I had to check the whole time.
It's aliens versus aliens. There's more Men in Black than cowboys versus aliens.
Actors versus aliens.
What do these aliens look like once they transform?
They
as
have
cowboys?
Seven legs.
Nice.
They have pincers on Ooh. Their foreheads.
Nice.
Human heads.
Ooh.
But with the pincers coming
yeah,
outwards.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You use them to like open cans. And
oh
stuff.
Yeah. I'd love a lobster claw.
I would love yeah.
One
I
extra
think
claw.
If I think about any random superfluous animal part, mm. I think I'd like antlers.
Antlers would
yeah.
be cool.
Now on one hand, it'd be very annoying. Coming in and out of doorways.
Or getting changed.
Yeah, you'd be wearing button-up shirts for sure.
Yeah, true.
No slip overs. But something about it, I think it would be... I think I would look quite regal.
Uh-huh.
I think that would make me look a bit taller.
You wouldn't take a tail?
No, I don't think... Because... Like, what type... Like, you'd want, like, a monkey tail, one that can grab stuff?
I'd want a lizard tail. One
lizard
that's just kind of there. Yeah.
A lizard tail.
Just one that like.
Would you get one of those lizard tails that's meant to be the kind of rough shape and silhouette of your head so that sometimes if a predator is trying to get your head, they get your tail by mistake? So
that's
just,
right.
Yeah.
It looks, that's hair and everything.
Yeah.
It looks just like
a lizard
like
tail
me.
Would, the only trouble is the main advantage of a lizard tail is that it regenerates once it falls off.
Mm.
But I imagine it still probably hurts when it falls off.
I have to imagine that it does, right?
Yeah.
I saw a video of a crocodile just having its arm in.
Oh, I think
just
I've
from
seen
a death
that. Is that the one of the, yeah, is that the one of the ones where a guy throws a bunch of food into a crocodile enclosure and the crocodiles just start blindly biting at it?
Just
one of them bites one of the other crocodiles and goes, "Great, I've got some meat," and rips its arm off.
Yeah, and they just deal with it.
And if you haven't seen this video, the description makes it sound horrible and gruesome. It's like, why are these guys watching this horrible? But really, it seems like no one minds.
Yeah,
the arm just kind of pops off, and the other crocodile doesn't even like go like, "What was that?" It's
they don't
like,
feel it at all.
Yeah, very strange.
This movie ends in a giant battle between the actors and the aliens.
Okay, so these evil aliens, the aliens that were posing as cowboys. What's their relationship with the original aliens that lost the ship? What's the story there?
Millennia long. Alien
blood
feud.
This
yeah.
is like at the start of E.T.
Yeah. Yes, exactly like the start
okay.
of E.T.
So they maybe shot down the other aliens' craft,
yeah,
and now
and
they're guarding
like,
the being like they'll come back at some point. And we can kill them.
Yeah, because what isn't exposed is that this alien is the good alien is the general of the good alien side.
Oh,
that they
he's
need
the,
back home.
The Charles de Gaulle.
That's
of the,
right.
Yeah.
So they're tasked with keeping him on the planet, and
I
they
see.
Do that by tricking humans into defending the asteroid city.
Oh, so like the financier of this film is a secret cowboy alien
yes,
as well.
That's right.
I see.
Bob Balaban.
Great.
Bob Balaban, yeah. He,
all right, nice. Honestly, that's perfect casting for... Cause if it, let me get up the... we've got the big computer.
He's here. A Larkin's executive.
Yeah, exactly. And also, if you just look at him, he looks like... You'd cast him as the kind of like I'm secretly an alien pretending to be a film executive. I think that's exactly. I think if you were describing Bob Balaban to a blind person, you'd be like, imagine if like a guy was a film executive, but also
yeah, to look him up and find out he looks undercover for sure.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So now they've discovered the all thanks to Margot Robbie.
Yeah. And so this movie ends with This movie ends with all the bodies laid on the ground, alien bodies gone everywhere, the whole place is up in flames, it's had a huge fight.
Yeah.
And then what happens? The tour bus turns up, all the actors are still there, it's the same actors, but they're playing different parts, which is listed. It's Margot Robbie.
But when you say it's the same actors,
yeah,
that were already there?
That would, yeah.
So the actors are there, and then another bus of actors.
Of the same actors.
Of the same people show. So what's happened?
That's the big twist.
But what does it mean?
I don't know. It's that they were in a time loop portal thing. And now they have a chance to save their previous selves.
But they were losing a different reality.
Yeah.
It's a different reality.
Yeah, and they turn up.
Right.
It was the real reality all along.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What do you do? Was the real reality all along? So where were the other?
It's like an Inception coin thing. You know, you don't know who the real Margot
Robbie
was.
But what are the layers of the reality like? I'm asking because you're close here.
Layers of reality. As in what do you mean? What do you mean
when you say like when in the movie when this other busload of the same characters shows up? Yeah. What's happening?
It's like as in for me in my head, it's like they are turning up to start recording the movie.
Movie that they are recording. This cab, like all the stuff that's happened in the movie, like I don't want to guess.
No, I don't quite know how else to say it. It's like they are turning up in a time loop that they don't realize that they've come in from some other universe or from their exit, or this has all happened and it wasn't meant to converge this way. They've turned up for their reality, what was going to be the start of their thing, and they're seeing like their own themselves already dead and stuff.
They lose against the evil aliens.
I think there's no winner.
Everyone dies. And then the new tour bus of the same actors shows up.
And then I guess Tom Hanks comes out as the mayor again. He's like, they've been an awfully weird situation. A weird time loop thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the film?
I think so. That's about as long as I can pull it out of my ass.
It was good. It's interesting because this is such a difficult movie to guess the plot of.
Yeah, I just...
But you had the elements of that. Because what you would have done... Is if you look at the, and if you've seen this movie, you'll know why. But if you look at the cast list, every character is. So, for example, Scarlett Johansson is listed as both Midge Campbell, the actress and mother, and also Mercedes Ford, the actress playing Midge Campbell.
Yeah.
Jason Schwartzman is Augie Steenbeck, a war photojournalist, but he's also Jones Hall, the actor playing Augie Steenbeck.
Ah, so it's maybe this weird play between what is being filmed and what is actually. Just them as actors being the characters.
Yeah, so what this film is it's... it opens up with Bryan Cranston.
Can I say as well? Yeah. I had a completely different vision in my head for what this was.
And until you looked at the Wikipedia.
Well, like, no, because I had looked at the reason I did it this way is because I looked at the cast list and I was like, this is too big.
Yeah.
I can't sit down and start writing. I'm not going to be... And I was like, why don't I just go for it? I have an idea based on the... I did not notice that it was two. Yeah. But even then looking at it, it's like the actor that plays that character, it really is still just one. It is how I thought it was.
Yeah.
It is actors playing these characters. I just didn't put that in that moment. It threw me at the start.
Yeah, because it's interesting because normally in a cast list you wouldn't have if you had a movie about an actor, you wouldn't have them listed as both an actor and the character that they're acting. Because you'd just be like, well, no, they're playing the actor.
Mm.
And it's just sometimes it's them doing their job. And the reason why this cast list has that is because the movie starts with Bryan Cranston being like, we're about to put on a teleplay for you, a televised version of a play.
Okay.
And so what the movie is you have this asteroid city, which is...
Bryan Cranston is this?
It's a bit role.
Okay.
You have the whole asteroid city thing, which is the trailer that what you would have seen if you've seen the trailer of this movie.
I haven't seen
is
the trailer.
Okay. Which is about a town that is visited by aliens.
So the story is,
and it's set in like the 1950s. It's sort of a
That's what the play is about.
That's essentially the plot of this movie is. It's set in the 1950s in a kind of like retro futuristic thing.
Okay,
and it's a town is in Asteroid City, which is a town named because an asteroid landed there a million years ago.
Cool. I thought that had to be it.
Yeah, exactly. Classic. This town is holding a little science fair, where all these kids from around America have gathered to share their inventions. Yeah, and the idea is they've invented, like one kid's invented essentially a laser gun. The other kid, like, it's and they're kind of like a Fallout-style retrofuturism. Then while they're there, an alien comes down, lands in the middle of the city, picks up the asteroid, the tiny chip of the asteroid that was left there for a million years ago, and disappears.
Okay, so...
And suddenly the army arrives and everyone gets put under quarantine and everyone freaks out and they say, no one's leaving this town.
Oh, fuck.
We have to figure out what the alien wanted and everything. And then eventually the alien comes back again, puts the asteroid back where he took it from, but they notice he's now put like a little serial code on it, like, it's been, like he's been accounted it or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they disappear, and then eventually the town disperses and they go back to their own thing.
Oh.
And in the meantime, we learn, as you were kind of talking about, of all the various situations of the family. So Jason Schwartzman plays this photojournalist who's, he's brought his son to the competition, but their wife has just passed away. His wife has passed away, but he hasn't told the kids yet. They still think their mom is just really sick back
home. That's the thing with these movies. When there's a big cast list, it's like there are too many intertwining stories to guess. Like,
and then he starts out this romance with Scarlett Johansson's character, who's like this famous actress, who's also in town because her daughter is one of the entrances into the competition.
Oh. So they're not putting on a play or anything.
They well, no. Are. So that's... See, this is the confusing thing.
Yeah.
That is the scenario of the movie, so to speak.
Yes.
That is what is happening. That's the plot that's happening. And eventually Jason Schwartzman's character gets, like, processes the grief of losing his wife, and the kids get process the grief of losing their mother.
Yeah.
He has this connection with Scarlett Johansson. We meet all the other characters. Like, they all have these little things and everything. So that's all happening, and the alien thing is almost so minor. It is Jeff Goldblum in like an alien suit. He looks different. He's like, they put him in a full body suit where he's completely black and furry, and he just has the two big dinner plate eyes. He never says anything. He has this funny moment where
that's rare for Jeff Goldblum. Yeah, yeah, he's not like saying anything. Yeah.
And so
he just, usually plays like bit things, like, but normally they love a Jeff Goldblum like, I can't do it. But
And he comes down and he takes the thing and it's still like he's completely silent. The alien is almost like just nothing in this plot.
You might as well not have cast Jeff Goldblum in it.
Well, but here's the thing, is that then throughout this movie, we also get scenes of the production of this teleplay that we're watching.
Okay.
So that's where you get...
Oh, shit!
Jason Schwartzman as the actor that plays that character. And you get Scarlett Johansson as the actress that plays the character who is also an actress.
Okay.
That's where you have Bryan Cranston... Sorry, not Bryan Cranston. That's where you have Edward Norton as the playwright who wrote this play.
Right. Oh, yeah. I think I did see that. I was going to have him doing such a fun part. This is why I should prepare that apart.
All these different elements of it. That's this... you know, so we have scenes where Jesse Schwartzman is talking to the playwright, being like, I don't understand this character. Like, I don't... he's the way that he's... You know, I don't understand the motivations of why he's doing this. And Edward Norton says is talking to him about it. We have a scene where Willem Dafoe plays this acting teacher who's teaching the actors who are in the play how to do this particular scene and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so throughout the movie, we're getting this very meta, but almost even more meta thing.
That's what I gathered it was going to be.
Approaching at the end there, where you're like, it shows up and then the actors have shown up again. But it's like, there is no...
I made an alternate reality weird thing. Yeah,
but this is literally just you're watching the play, and there's the narrative of that play of this asteroid city and that environment and everything. But then you also have this almost behind the scenes of it all.
Right? Is it the sort of thing where like someone calls card and they like break and they come out,
almost,
or it's less like
that?
Yeah,
almost. It's less like that. It's not, but
it's more natural
sort of thing. So, for example, you see at one point Jeff Goldblum, the actor, out of his alien suit. You know, he's carrying the head
just
around.
Just hanging around somewhere.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's not to say that it's Jeff Goldblum playing himself.
Yeah, yeah.
It's him as this actor who plays the alien
this
1950s radio play sort of thing.
Yeah, that's really fun.
So it's all very arcane, and this is why it's been such a divisive movie, because so many people have been like, okay, I fucking get it. Oh, it's a play within a play. It's a movie within a movie.
Uh-huh.
It's classic Wes Anderson up himself, wanky,
self-referential.
You know, you lose all the humanity of the tale because every character is through six layers of artifice and and that's the weird, and it gets really weird with Margot Robbie's character.
Yeah, okay.
Because she plays a character. She plays the dead wife of Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah,
who has been written out of the play. She's not in the play. The only time you see her are in photos of being like, "All right, this is a photo of my dead wife." And then at one point in one of the behind the scenes things, the actor Jason Schwartzman, or rather the actor Jones Hall, who plays Jason Schwartzman's character, runs into the actress who's Margot Robbie, who was like, oh yeah, we had a scene together, and then they cut it and you're not in the play anymore. And they have a interaction and stuff like that.
That is fucking wild.
But in that, it is sort of that interaction that they have is sort of metaphorical for him talking about his dead, wife. And it's like, oh, we've lost this time that we had, you know.
Yeah.
You've been written out of this play. You are, you know.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's all layers of metaphor for what this movie is about in the most general sense, which is dealing with grief and moving on and that sort of...
Yeah.
So the scene where Jason Schwartzman is talking to the playwright, being like, I don't understand this character's motivation. And Edward Norton goes, well, whether you understand why he's doing things or not, the way you're playing it is working. The way you're acting is working great for the production. So you don't need to understand it. Just keep doing it. And you know,
what a great director.
Well, you
tell you to fucking shut up. And
I think for me, I really enjoyed this movie.
I'd love it.
And I think it really works for me. The artifice works for me because you have these really beautiful scenes like that.
Yeah.
Where it's this this really fascinating sort of metaphor about. You know, it's not just to say that the movie's just about the processing of grief. The movie's also about, you know, that art of storytelling and why it is that we watch a movie about a guy going through grief and what that means for you as a viewer and what it means for Wes Anderson who creates it and what does it mean for the actors who play it and everything like that. And I think, you know, it's for someone like yourself who's into theatre, who's into acting, into performance, into dramaturgy.
Because I like that. I mean, yeah.
It's good. It's you know, I think it's a really interesting film.
I think anyone who would maybe get upset with having the illusion pulled away, right? And like, if you're mad about like meta, I enjoy meta stuff, especially when how things are made or getting those little like those jokes of Jeff Goldblum hanging out with Justin Eastwood. Yeah. I like that because I think I've spent a lot of time in those scenarios where you are kind of disassociated from the story that you're making in the behind the scenes, you do lose a lot of magic when you start like. You know, when you're in a week of tech week and you're stressing and you're like, how are we going to fucking do this thing?
Yeah.
And then everyone comes out and they're like, that part of the play was so good. And you're like, that part of the play nearly killed us.
you know, I don't want to be the kind who said like, oh, and if you didn't enjoy this movie, you just didn't get it. I get people completely understand the conceit of this movie and what it's trying to do and still just not like it. I completely get that. I get very frustrated by movies about making movies a lot of the time because it's just like, great, like you're a frail screenwriter. It's like, oh, write a movie about making movies.
Yeah.
Great, man.
I don't love... there is some... It depends on
the film. So I get why people, you know...
And I don't love
this movie's had a mixed reception.
Yeah, I get that. And it's the same as I don't love a story that starts with a thing that then they flash back away from where you're like, exactly, just, I'm cool to just watch.
But I think it's a really interesting movie. I enjoyed what they did. It worked for me.
Can I give myself an honest reading?
Yeah.
I think if I had maybe given myself a little bit more time, the thing is, I mean, not that I have to tell everyone that listens to this pod, but I am having a stressful time. Through my weekly day-to-day working stuff. And so getting time to like sit down and write a plot like I wanted to, I didn't get to do that. And the time that I was going to, I was like, I just want to relax. So I think if I had a better chance to look at the cast list and stuff, I think I would have gotten really close.
Well, because I think in your version of the plot of things, I think you got really close.
Just from where my brain took me purely off like a glance of the things that I saw.
No, I thought you were going to see the plot, see characters listed as the actor that plays themselves, and just get completely lost in the source. But I think you definitely captured the element of what this film
twists like, on
so twist. Much of this film, which is well not just twists, not but twist. but the meta fictional element of it. Yeah. You have actors playing themselves, and more than that, you also have like what like this confusing line between.
Who's
wait,
it? Wait, are they? I thought
am
they
I
were...
meant to think that this is the cowboy character, or am I meant to think this is the actor, or am I meant to think that this is the actor, like the actual guy, like Jason Schwartzman?
That was definitely him, you know? A thought of mine where I'm like, I think that's what this movie is really about.
And yeah,
like...
so you definitely, that's the field, that's the water that this movie swims in. Like, that's cool. Definitely the sort of, vibe of it. But other parts of it, like, the sort of setting of it, it's not a modern-day thing.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I
thought it was kind of modern-day, but that's...
Yeah. But no, I think...
I think what threw me is I thought it was modern-day, but then they were in this set that was supposed to look like the 1950s.
Yeah, which it almost sort of has. But like, for example, speaking of Tennessee Williams that we mentioned earlier, like, Edward Norton is definitely meant to be a Tennessee Williams type.
Oh,
like,
cool.
As a player. Yeah. Kind of, so that sort of era, like the kind of 50s.
We mentioned David Mamet before, not Tennessee Williams.
No, I think I mentioned Tennessee Williams directly after that.
Oh.
Bam. If I didn't, I'll edit myself back in. So
I'll just suddenly be like,
Peter King William.
Oh God, that really fucking blew out the mic. Anyways, so I all to say, you got way closer than I thought you would considering this plot.
Yes.
I think you should watch this movie. I think it's crazy that like, if you're a fan of Wes Anderson, and you know, you have your perspectives on the process of filmmaking and theater making that you do, I think you will enjoy it.
Yeah,
or at the very least, find it interesting.
Yeah, I can't believe I haven't seen it. I'm going to watch it straight away.
So I will give you, out of, I wouldn't even know how to begin. Let's
out of one big asteroid.
Yeah, out of the layers of metatextuality, ooh, I rate you a Bernard Fryer, which is of course the real name of the actor who plays Barry Walsh in the Block Blunders podcast. I'm sorry to pull behind the curtain here, Bernie, but I think this is the perfect time to...
Oh, jeez, Pat, you're throwing away. Now everyone knows my name is Bernie.
Yeah, and you're dropping your flawless Australian accent, which people have always been so impressed by how realistically you do that Australian accent, considering in real life you're an American and you can barely speak from the sounds of it at all.
I have terrible diseases.
Yeah, you're full of terrible diseases. So I admire that. So well done, Bernie. And this is going to be the only episode where we peek behind the curtain like that.
Yeah, you're going to have to edit this.
Go back into characters.
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, I'm Barry now.
Oh, God, you do it seamlessly. Yeah. It's honestly so
it's
fucking
scary,
impressive.
Right? It's like I have the mask.
Yeah. And people don't know as well that the guy in the pictures that we posted, that's a model. That's a male model.
Yeah. We hire that guy.
Yeah, I don't even know that fucking dude's name. You organized with
him. Yeah, it's John or something.
John. Anyways.
If you're listening, if you like the pod, I mean, that's the end of the pod, right? That's Wait, did I get a rating in the end?
Bernard Fryer.
Yeah, my sub alter ego.
Yeah.
If you are enjoying listening to this insane episode and these crazy this podcast, please tell your friends about it. Give us a review on whatever you're listening on. Even actually go on to other podcast streaming services and leave a review there as well. And continue listening and enjoying. We love you lots.
And if you've got any more listener suggestions, email them to us. And keep trying to trip Barry up with these meta impossible to guess. Because, honestly, Forged in the Crucible of Fire, he got really close. If you were the person suggesting Asteroid City, I bet you didn't think for it. You didn't dream that he would get as close as he did with this.
I'm saying is give me 2 days to be able to like put a plot together, and I would have gotten that plot word for word. that's all I'm saying. Yeah, I had taken the time to see that Edward Norton was playing a playwright, which I had and then forgot, because I started casting everyone. I had like chosen
too many names.
But I've normally done in the past for that, a little sneak, is like grabbed the names and actually like at least attributed actors to characters, which I didn't do in this one. Yeah. So to the listener who suggested this, I apologize.
We don't owe you shit. The listener who recommended this, fuck you.
Pat gave me the worst look there.
Go fuck yourself. I'm going to apologize to you. You're a worm.
Anyway, that's
a movie. Within a movie. Within a movie.